Good morning, everyone. My name's Dave. Welcome to Insights for Health, the radio show providing up-to-date information on various health topics. Insights for Health is brought to you by The Healthy Habit at 451 St. Clair Street in Chatham, celebrating 25 years since 1992, 25 years of customer care, product knowledge, and quality nutritional supplements, where we help you to help yourself one step at a time toward a healthy habit. Our topic today is stress and insomnia, and joining us is best-selling author and naturopathic doctor, Kate Riome, who is both a graduate and former faculty member of the Canadian College of Naturopathic Medicine. Dr. Kate lectures internationally regarding health and wellness and is a frequent guest on radio and television across North America. And Dr. Kate, welcome back to Insights for Health.
Thanks, Dave. Good to be back.
You're getting to be a frequent guest here as well. Always glad to have you here. So sleep and stress, or stress and sleep, what comes first, the chicken or the egg, right?
It's really hard to say both. Being stressed, having high levels of stress will interfere with our sleep. And similarly, if we're not sleeping well, that exacerbates our stress. So it's both.
So a little bit of background on stress, doctor. Mm. I'm sure there's many descriptions, and it can be very extreme, from very little to absolutely extreme and harmful. But there's kind of like three major phases, right?
Yeah, that's right. When we experience a stressful event, the body responds in three phases. And the first one is called the alarm phase. This is the initial production of our fight or flight hormones, and these will help mobilize you to deal with the stress. Now, depending on what type of stress it is and how long it lasts, we can go into a second phase of resistance, in which we can cope with the stress for a certain period of time. And eventually, this will lead to the third phase, which is exhaustion, in which we can no longer cope with the stress, or our coping mechanisms decide that they need a break and a rest. Ironically, that exhaustion phase can often happen when the stress is over, and you know, everybody's experience where they've been under a stressful period, then the first day of vacation you get sick, that kind of thing. That's typical. But sometimes we don't get that vacation, and we just sort of gradually can kind of burn down with dealing with stress over long periods.
So that's where someone might snap, or they might get into a burnout situation.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Snap or burnout is typically, you know, some type of thing we can see with long-term stress or multiple different stressors.
Yeah, it's like the elastic, eh? It can only take so much tension.
Exactly.
Now, stress is not always associated with a negative event, is it?
Oh, no, that's true. I mean, our body will go through the same phases of stress response, even with positive events. So any kind of change, especially if it's a major change, and that can be a birth in the family, you know, a new addition to the family, a promotion, a job change, even that's a welcome one, moving to a new home, winning the lottery, for example. And these are positive things, and yet the body doesn't really distinguish when it's producing the stress hormones. It will produce the same hormones. It doesn't have different hormones for good and bad events. And so even if you enjoy your job, for example, but it's a stressful job, you are under stress. You may be enjoying your stress more than the next person, but it can also still be affecting you.
Now, we have control mechanisms sort of built in, don't we?
We do. I'd say the first one, in fact, is our brain, because ultimately it's not what happens to us, but what we think about what happens to us.
Yeah,
that makes something stressful or not. So that's probably the ultimate control mechanism. But still, there are, you know, how we respond to this through, well, primarily the adrenal glands are our major organs of stress response. And these help us produce stress hormones, adrenaline and cortisol, in appropriate amounts. Well, ideally, when things are working well, in appropriate amounts at the appropriate time, and then reduce that. These are some of the coping or control response mechanisms that we have for stress.
So the adrenals can be taxed. I mean, you get these minor, you're in traffic, somebody cuts you off, and you react quickly. You avoid the collision, but then you get that rush of adrenaline. And there's countless situations where that can happen.
So, well, this is an another challenge with our stress response and modern life is that our stress response was largely designed to deal with lions and tigers, if you know what I mean. It's something you can, the fight or flight hormones, you can fight it or flee. But you can't flee when you're stuck sitting in traffic. You can't fight if it's, you know, your boss that's causing stress. You can't flee running down the hall either. So a lot of the stress that we have nowadays, we can't respond to in the way that these hormones are designing us or would like us to. And so this does cause things like road rage and other and burnout, this gradual draining of our resources.
And that happening over a long-term time frame can lead to some major health issues.
Yeah, so because our adrenal glands are responsible for producing stress hormones, and if they're overworked, and this can even be just day-to-day life for, say, you know, a busy young mom, these kinds of things, just the constant pressure, then our adrenal glands over time literally can become tired, especially if they're not getting, say, the nutrients they need to do their job or the support or the rest that we need. And when that happens, then the adrenal glands aren't so efficient at producing the stress hormones when they should. And this can lead to a number of symptoms. If they're not producing enough hormones when they should, it can lead us feeling tired and sluggish, like in the morning, waking up unrefreshed, difficulty getting up and going, needing several cups of coffee. Or if they're producing too much hormone when they shouldn't because they're too revved up, then we get the tired and wired syndrome. We can't wind down at night. You're lying in bed, you're exhausted, but you can't stop thinking. Sleep is affected. So it really, the adrenal glands can get out of balance, and it can really affect our physical and emotional and mental overall health, well-being.
Yeah, and some of those long-term stressors, like an aging parent or a sick child, you know, again, job pressures and responsibilities that are just never seem to go away. Or even a person's own chronic pain or chronic illness.
Yep, all of these things tax the adrenal glands day in, day out, and those glands need support for this important and sort of never-ending job that they're doing. And if they don't get that, we can start to feel pretty unwell pretty quickly because of their weakening or declining function.
So here's that cycle again, right? We're getting adrenal exhaustion or exhaustion from stress. We don't sleep. That adds to our stress the next day. The stress mounts. We get less sleep again, or so on and so on. So how do we break that cycle, Doctor?
Well, the good news is that there are usually natural ways that we can improve our sleep quality, which just doing, and very quickly, and doing that in and of itself can really help improve our well-being in general. And so taking steps to improve sleep, which again can often be done, like I said, you know, in a day or a few days, even some improvement in sleep quality, can really make a difference in terms of our optimal production of stress hormones and our just general well-being.
Yeah, because I mean, think we're all going to experience a poor night's sleep at some point. I mean that if it happens once, okay, no problem. But when it's chronic, time after time after time, then it's really going to wear us down.
Exactly. And whether it's difficulty getting to sleep or difficulty staying asleep, exactly, that will wear us down. And you know, it doesn't take very long. You know, just after one night's short on sleep, you may be all right. But even, you know, a night that you're getting less than, I think it's 5 hours, will affect your reflexes, your driving ability, your memory. So just one night short on sleep can affect that. But if it's night after night, it can pretty quickly add up.
Yeah, anxiety, depression.
Yep, chronic lack of sleep will absolutely affect mood, leading to depression. It can lead to anxiety, although anxiety often leads to lack of sleep. So these things are all connected.
So again, I mentioned it in the last show that we talked about. There's natural approaches, and then there's pharmaceuticals. I hear people talk about, I'll say the doctor got a sleeping pill, and I went to sleep, but I really don't feel like I'm rested. That's not uncommon, is it?
It's very common. It's very common for the prescription sleep aids for people to feel groggy and drowsy in the morning, even if they slept well in that they may have had an uninterrupted sleep, but they don't feel refreshed or rested, or they feel very groggy and hungover. And the many of the common ones, really these sleep aids, should only be taken and only designed to be taken for very short periods of time. We're talking about a week or two at the most, because they have potential addictive qualities.
Yeah.
And as well, they have been shown to, again, affect things like reflexes, driving ability, in many cases later in the same day. It's not a good long-term solution.
So the REM, can you tell me what REM is?
Yeah, REM stands for rapid eye movement, and this is a phase of sleep. It's considered to be a lighter phase of sleep in which we dream. And so we have two phases of sleep. We have a deep, non-dreaming sleep in which we restore ourselves physically.
Yeah.
And then we have this lighter REM sleep in which we dream and restore ourselves mentally and emotionally. So REM sleep is really critical for mental health.
And recuperation, eh?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So what are some natural approaches that we can take versus an over-the-counter or a pharma prescription?
There are a number of really wonderful, safe, and natural ingredients that will improve sleep quality, either helping with getting to sleep or staying asleep. Off the top of my head, well, we'll mention melatonin.
Yeah.
This is probably most famous.
Now, that's naturally within the body, isn't it?
We do naturally produce melatonin, or we're supposed to. Kids typically produce a lot, which is why they sleep a lot, and we will naturally produce less and less as we age, which is why seniors tend to sleep less. But our natural melatonin production can be shut down by stress, cortisol levels, stress hormone, that will shut that down. Blue lights at night, so looking at screens late in the evening, will decrease our production of melatonin. There's lots of reasons that our own natural melatonin production can be decreased. And the good news is that you can take melatonin supplementally and restore that, and it can improve sleep for many people.
Now, if you take melatonin supplementally, will your body, because it's recognizing it in there, will it tend to not make its own?
That's one of the most common questions I get asked, and the answer to that is no.
Yay.
It's true, and we have to remember that, in fact, because of our lifestyles and with age, we are naturally making less melatonin anyway. So, you know, and taking supplemental melatonin won't change or affect that. And it is, but there's a wide range, I find, from as little as a gram to as much as 10 grams. I know an individual who even has taken, believe it or not, 50 milligrams milligrams of melatonin to sleep. So there's a really wide range from very, very small amounts to large amounts. You have to experiment a little bit to see if it works for you and what would be the right dose.
All right. Doctor, we're going to take a brief pause here. And after the commercial, we'll come back and we'll pick up our topic on sleep and stress.